Content warning, y'all. We have lots of fun making this podcast, but remember, we watch a lot of R-rated films, use language that reflects that, and joke about heavy topics to create levity around these themes. If that doesn't feel safe or could be triggering, please take care of yourself. We want you to have fun listening too. This also means we might not be suitable for children. Oh yeah, and we spoil the end of all the movies we pod about. Thanks for listening. And so, like, it's that thing of, like, some people just can't do something. Like, it's not, but it's not about, like, money. It's not about, it's not about anything about, like, brains are wired differently.
Well, and here's the thing that we'll never be able to know thanks to,
late stage capitalism?
Any stage capitalism where, well, maybe not any stage, maybe not early, but, like, the fact that it is required that we exchange our labor on the open market.
Right.
For some paper or
plastic
numbers that represent a worth that you then have to use to purchase your basic needs.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll never know, you know, we'll never have the privilege or the benefit or the basic human right to figure out what we're good at, to figure it out.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
It'll always be in competition
with others and in a bid
with our survival.
Right. But also in a bid to profit.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to learn to it's going to be less likely that you learn to be good at something. Like, if you're a poor person, it's very unlikely that you're going to take the time to learn a skill that you might not be great at, but you just enjoy because it's going to take up too much time and money, which are resources.
Your only resources.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't have access to the means of production.
Correct.
Your only option is...
Yes. Okay.
You guys get it.
Speaking of... check out our Patreon.
Indeed.
Patreon.com/ZNKpod. Also, follow us on all social medias. We do social media, and we do it...
Swear to God.
Barely.
If you don't follow us on Instagram, I don't understand what you're doing.
I know, yeah. Instagram is great.
I mean,
great.
Thank you if you're listening.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And not doing anything else, that's great.
If you have an Instagram, go to your Instagram right now. Type in Z and K pod, written out, not
poopy
like, not an ampersand, Z, poopy outdoor dog, Z-A-N-D-K-P-O-D.
Zandk
pod. And just hit follow and that's it. Like,
that's all you have to do.
That's all you have to do.
It's so simple. Why aren't you doing
it? Yeah. If you're on Twitter right now.
Same thing.
Look at Z and K pod. And who knows, because I only post links, so we might be shadow banned. So if it says, do you want to go directly to ZNKpod, just click yes.
I assume that everything's shadow banned that isn't...
Pretty much, yeah.
Got a blue check or like...
Yeah, pretty much.
Super verified TikTok, or whatever happens now.
Literally the same thing on TikTok, just ZNKpod.
Chicky chalky.
Oops. Anyway. Airheads. We watched Airheads, which was a movie I had never... Oh, I'm getting a spam risk call on my telephone.
Oh, you should take it live.
No, I hate answering.
Put them on speaker.
I would, but I hate talking on the phone, and that would literally give me, like, an anxiety attack. I hate answering my phone. It's so hard when, I know that who's calling me, and I still have to be like, you know who's calling you. It's okay to answer it. I'm like, okay. Anyway. I'd never seen Airheads before.
Nor I.
I had no idea what it was. It was not at all what I thought it was going to be.
Even though it's what I said I thought it was?
I misunderstood. You said they take over a radio station. I thought you meant, this is what I thought you meant by that. They, like, can't get anyone to play their music, so they, like, buy or something a radio station. I thought you were, like, take over, like, they literally,
you
like, inherit
illegal,
one or
a boring legal.
No, I thought it was, like, they, like, pirate.
Acquisition.
Well, I thought it was, like, kind of like a pirate radio thing.
I see.
More like that. Like, they just play, you know, yeah, like, the music that they like. I didn't know for sure if they were, like, if they were an actual band or if they were just, like, guys that were all, like, oh, we can't get anyone to listen to our music.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if they were. Yeah. I didn't, because I literally knew nothing about it.
I obviously didn't know details.
I was confused by some of it. Well, yes. And also, I was like, wow, this is so white.
Yeah.
Their behavior towards the cops and around the cops.
That comes to
with cops.
Quite a sharp point when he starts chanting Rodney King.
Yeah, I was like, what's that supposed to mean?
Everybody having a good time tonight! Yeah! Yes, we got the cops, shut this party down! Yes, sir, we got the guns! We got the numbers!
Rodney King? What's that supposed to mean?
He's that guy.
Like, I know who Rodney
King
is.
I think at the time it was like, cop, everybody knows the cops fucked this up.
Yeah. Oh. I remember that being like, I remember when that happened, it was such a huge deal and it was such a big thing. But
yeah,
like, they're chanting it and I'm like, I mean, it's cool that, like, I don't know, I was like.
I mean, also it was L.A.
Right.
And this is set in L.A.
For sure, yes. But I'm like, is this a, I'm like, I can't tell what this is supposed to be trying
to
say.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I don't know. Like, I want to think this is cool, but I know that the reason for it in 1994 would not be the reason for that now. So I don't know how to contextualize
mm-hmm.
it for
yeah.
the time. And I'm like, ugh. Like, now it would be like a say their name kind of thing, which we know is a good thing. You say
kind
someone's
of.
Name. You say someone's name. No, I just mean, like, that's how I would take it if someone was doing that now. I'd be like, okay, they're saying their name as a way to, like, you know, that's an important thing because a lot of times, you know, the perpetrators get more limelight than the actual victims.
Right.
So, like, saying their name, drawing light is important. But back then.
So he wasn't killed or he didn't die,
King.
Right?
Right, that, well, a victim doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
We'll say their name.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, like,
yeah.
You know,
I
like.
Just, sorry.
It's. I mean, either way.
Yes.
Like, it's important that you recognize the victim and you, like, center the victim and not the person that did
yeah.
it in some
Correct.
Ways,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is
yeah.
also tricky because they're like, we need to. Which I never know how to take that because everyone's like, we should name and shame the abuser. And then they're like, say the victim's name. And I'm like, which is
yeah.
it?
I know.
I don't. There's conflicting things.
Well, that's the problem with
nuance.
When things turn into
needed.
A slogan, is it's
yeah,
unclear
yeah, yeah.
who
exactly.
the audience is.
For sure.
Or
yes.
who. Never mind.
No, yeah. No, that's, yeah. Context is important.
I can't emphasize that enough.
It's important that you emphasize the correct syllable. That's one of my mom's favorite things to say.
Shout out.
Shout out to homeschool mama. So the premise of the movie, which I didn't know going in, is that these dudes, played by Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler, they...
Why are we doing this?
What?
Job opening.
Oh, I see. Now I know. I thought you were saying, because I said Adam Sandler's name funny, I thought you were saying I'm kicked off the podcast. And I got my feelings hurt, frankly.
I'm sorry.
But you were talking about the bottles dropping outside because someone's moving in or out or down or up. So they have a band and they can't get anyone to give them any sort of, like, pay any attention to them. They're, like, nobody cares. Nobody's interested, blah, blah, blah. So they decide to break into a radio station and basically, like, ask them to...
One of the first scenes is we see Brendan Fraser...
Yes.
Weaseling his way into a record HQ... A record...
But
company,
they're like, it's this guy again. So yeah. He's done it multiple times.
So we know he's tried this.
So, yeah.
So, and he accosts Judd Nelson.
Oh, God. With his fucking soul patch. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, the fake
I love
soul.
How fake it is. And I assumed, like, that was a thing they did intentionally.
Yeah.
Along with Michael McKean's fake ponytail.
Oh, my God. Right, yeah. To let you know they're fake.
Yeah. Which I appreciate.
Subtle. Yeah, no.
And I don't know if anybody's aware of what was happening in the early, mid-90s regarding the music industry, but, you know, grunge was shaking things up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's only one line that even acknowledges that. And was like,
tickets for that Orange County Invasion show, Penelope Lovestocking and Crimson Shroud.
Oh, man, you actually listen to that Seattle bullshit?
Shroud rips, dude.
All right.
Oh, that's what they meant. Oh, okay. I didn't know what they meant by that. You were like, whoa. And I was like...
I assume.
I don't get it. No, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. But I didn't connect those dorts. Yeah.
Well, and specifically, I don't know if this is how I read the tone of the movie. Because so much of... Seemingly, at least, what grunge seemed to be a rejection of was all the, like, hair metal bands that came out of, like, Hollywood and L.A. Mm-hmm. of the 80s.
Yeah.
You Motley Crue's and...
Yeah. Correct.
Why can't I think of any other? I don't... Whatever.
Pantera.
Pantera, Tool.
Yeah.
Slint.
Sepultura.
Sepultura, yeah. Famously from L.A. Akadaka. Guns N' Roses. Akadaka. This is an actual one.
Yeah. Akadaka.
That's what they're called down under, apparently.
Akadaka.
Anywho.
Yeah,
So, and then these guys are more in that lineage?
Right, yeah.
Even though they're not, like, glam at all?
Like, it's interesting, right. It's interesting because it does feel, like, this was where my confusion was really, like, centered around it, is that, like, it feels like it came out just a little too late. Like, I understand what it was trying to do, and I was like, I feel like this would have been a great movie in 1989.
Right.
You know, or like
I assume it's one of those things where it was written in that time and then it took that long to get produced.
But like what it's saying, I found it interesting because I do think that this is a theme that happens. I mean, I did appreciate it was annoying. They kept driving it home, so it got a little bit annoying. But the idea of like not being a gimmick. Not doing something, like being recognized for what you're doing, not because you're the flavor of the month. And like not being signed to, like he didn't want to be signed to, and I appreciate this because I relate to it in the sense of like not wanting to be signed simply because you're popular, wanting to be signed because your music is actually good.
Right.
And I feel that, and I think that that's something that's always sort of a common theme. Like it happens with TikTok. Like people will just like have a million TikTok followers and then they get an agent and they're being cast in TV shows. Yeah. And it's like, are they talented? script? Like, yes. Have they, you know, and, but a lot of times the people, not always, but like a lot of times when that happens, it's like these people come from money, or these people like have a lot of money to put into their, you know, correct, and they have the time and they have the privilege, right, and they have all this stuff, and people are like, let's give them something. And so you're like, okay, that's cool. But like, what about everyone else that is doing the same amount of work?
Right.
But doesn't have the money to go into it, so they're not getting the same amount of recognition. Like, you know, it's that thing. It's that common theme of like, it's capitalism. You know, it's like they're about making money. They're not really about what's good or what isn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I appreciated that, but I feel like it's hard. Like, it's like
the tone of it feels dated because it feels almost naive in its
that's exactly
rejection of
right. I
mean, it's not that like everybody, I mean,
it's like, I mean,
honestly, it's the same thing that like listening to grunge now, or like,
right,
you know, Kurt Cobain wearing a shirt on the cover of Rolling Stone that says corporate rock still sucks,
right
you know?
Right. It's that thing of like, you know, the message isn't wrong, but like you're using like a Hollywood film to drive home this message.
Well, yeah. And also
that, you know, that just because something is popular or whatever doesn't make it good. And you're like, okay, but you're trying to be the number one movie in America, because that's what every movie that's put out by a studio is trying to do. So you're doing the thing that you're.
Well, it's also they get popular because they cause a scene.
Right. Exactly. Right. No, for sure. Yes.
I mean, so, you know, despite all their integrity, you know, it's
still a gimmick.
Regardless of what anybody says, it's indistinguishable whether they went double platinum because of this whole ordeal.
Right.
Or because people genuinely liked their one
and
song.
And even if they're saying like, you know, like their whole like, oh, I'm not going to sign this record deal. If you haven't heard the music, because I don't want, you know, or like, we're not going to do this fake thing. Like, it's still a gimmick.
Right.
Them like being like, well, oh, we're going to stand here in front of this camera and like beat our really expensive gear that we asked you to get for us that you're getting for us because we signed this contract to do, you know, it's all just like, oh, I get it. I could see how this might be a fun movie if you're like 15 and it's 1994 and you're watching it. I would have fun watching this.
I don't know. Maybe it's more it's more critical and cynical than it actually feels on the surface.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the whole point. Is like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's a good point. But yeah,
Showgirls is a good movie.
God, we gotta do that. I fucking love
Showgirls. We do. Is that in the 90s though?
Yeah, Showgirls is like 96 or 97, something like that.
Okay. I really, because I don't think, you haven't heard David Schmader's commentary.
No,
right?
I haven't.
Okay. I want to get a hold of that. I've shopped around for the.
Yeah.
As far as I know, that's only on the DVD that comes with the VIP edition, which is a box set that also comes with things like shot glasses and pasties.
Oh my God.
And, or like pin the pasties on the Showgirl. type of game, I swear.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's amazing. All.
Yeah, I got it for my friend, for Alex.
Yeah.
We were so into that movie. David Schmader is a Seattle person who, for years, would do a live showing where he would do commentary along with the movie.
Yeah.
And then surprising everyone, Warner Brothers or whoever.
Yeah.
Approached him to do a DVD.
That's amazing. That's fucking amazing.
Do it as
a
DVD commentary. Anyway. Since then, though, like.
That's impressive.
I feel people have. The opinion of that movie has definitely shifted because.
For sure, yeah. Well,
I think largely because it's Verhoeven and.
Well, I remember when it first came out, it was like, people were like, this is a ridiculous movie. This isn't.
Yeah.
This isn't entertaining. It's really poorly done. And it was like Elizabeth.
Berkeley.
I was like, her name's not Elizabeth Berkley. I'm wrong.
I know.
And she...
That's also how I remember it.
Yeah, right.
But we've also been talking about Elizabeth Perkins a lot lately because you've been watching Weeds.
No, well, I watched a season
I'm sorry,
of Weeds.
But that's why we've been speaking of her.
I know, but I just don't want...
Was it an accusation?
Okay, thank you. She just gets like, she did it because it was like after Saved by the Bell, like a couple years after Saved by the Bell. And she did it, you know, it's a common thing when you're like kind of stereotype as a good girl or like a good kid like a more adult feature or whatever. Or like do something that sets you apart from your childish sort of, you know, which is fine. That's fine. It's totally fine to branch out on your own and do something. So she did this and it was like this big deal at the time. Cause she like, I think she shows her tits and like, there's all kinds of like, there's nudity in it. There's all kinds of stuff. And you know, she's, you know, supposed to be like a stripper or something, or like it's just really sexual, like sexually charged or whatever. And the fucking sex scene in the fucking pool is just amazing. Anyway. So people were like, yeah, boo her. Like this is a trashy movie. It really fucked up her career. And that definitely fucking did. Sucks. Yeah. Because it was basically like she got considered like to be like trashy because she made this.
Well, I also think it was like
movie and that centered around Vegas and like all of these Vegas things. And so, you know, the opinion of her, but like, it's a ridiculous movie. Mm-hmm. And like, I always thought it was like a crappy movie. And then like, I don't know. I watched it when I moved out here. I like, you know, you get, I don't really miss Vegas, but there's some nostalgia attached with.
Oh, sure. Same stuff. Thing happens to me anytime anything's set in California or some LA or whatever. I'm like.
And so I wanted to watch it because I was like, you know what? I forgot that this movie is set in fucking Vegas. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch it. And I watched it and was like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I used to like, I watched it, I think. I watched it one year for Easter, like, and maybe that was the year maybe not.
Why Easter?
Just happened to be, I was like, oh, it's Easter. That'd be really funny to watch Showgirls instead. Because when I was growing up, you watch, like, the Ten Commandments and all that shit. And so.
Also weird.
But, like, you know, there was always, like, religious movies that you had to watch.
You should watch Easter. The Last Temptation of Christ.
I was not allowed to watch that. I was never allowed because it was blasphemous.
Yeah.
So blasphemous. Anyway, so so I watched it and then I like posted on Facebook and I was like, I'm watching Showgirls for Easter as God intended or something like that. And that's what prompted my sister to send me a message to let me know that the things that I say are offensive. And
but she's not racist against
gays. She's not racist against gay people. Direct quote. But I am going to hell if I don't like stop being a homosexual.
Is this the sister that had a relationship with a 40-year-old?
No, as a teen? No. No, this this is the sister that married a blind preacher and would prank him by moving the furniture around when he wasn't home so that he would trip. When he got back to the
Gutenprunk.
And she would put tape in the doorways and things because he couldn't see it. Isn't that funny? That's super funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
What a crack up.
We love ableism here. We're all about it. So yeah. I like how she would.
How's she doing now?
She would do shit like that, and then she was like, "You're going to hell because you're gay."
Just on account of gay.
Anyway, they're divorced now. So.
No.
I know. It's so sad.
I hope he's doing all right.
I think he's fine. That's.
Yeah, cool. I haven't watched it. I don't think since I moved here. So
Showgirls.
Over a decade.
Yeah, but I was like, this movie's actually, like, every time I watch it, I'm like, this movie's actually fucking amazing. Like, you know, when you're, like, when you first hear, like, I don't know when I guess I relate it to being younger and you're told like this movie's crap. You're like, oh, this is a crappy movie. It must suck. And then you watch it and you're like, yeah, it's not that good. And then like you start to develop more of a taste and like understand cinema. And like as you know, your cinematic palate, you know, becomes
more. As your brain grows.
Yeah. As your brain grows and your cinematic palate gets more defined and refined. And then you watch like these schlocky or like shitty movies, and I don't know, for me, I like Basket Case and fucking and Chud and like, was it Prom Night?
Oh, Prom Night. So good.
Oh, I'm trying to think of other ones.
April Fools.
Yeah, like so many movies that are like don't necessarily have like critic acclaim.
Yeah.
But like will hold like sort of like a popular, you know, be popular, you know, in the
a cult following?
Yeah. And you watch it and you're like, I get it, because this is fun. This is actually a lot of fun to watch, or it's actually saying something. Like it's more intelligent than people will give it credit for at the time, especially.
Yeah, I mean,
and I feel like if a movie, it doesn't matter what a movie's reception is when it comes out, it's like,
yeah,
how's that movie received 10 years later?
Right.
You know, and that's really and I mean, I
like
know that
King Cups.
I know that sucks as in regards to like a movie like doing well or like someone getting notoriety or something for doing something. But like, if your movie can't last 10 years, it probably wasn't very good, yeah. You know? And it probably, you know, if after 10 years, people aren't talking about it, nobody cares, and everyone's forgotten that this movie ever existed, but it was number one at the box office.
Yeah, I mean, like, who's talking about Ishtar now?
It's fair. It's fair. Anyway, Airheads. This is...
Who is it?
The fucking...
Where did it come from?
Him and his girlfriend thing. Oh my God, that could have been put to rest. That, no need for it. I mean, the first.
I feel like the only reason she's in there is it to be a joke that she's the abusive one.
I get. I don't fucking know, man.
Which you know, like, with the.
Also, did he write the song for her or not?
He did.
They
not.
Tell.
He did not.
Okay, he says I wrote it before, and then when they're making up, he says I wrote it for you.
Yeah, and that is. Done in the very beginning, also, that is repeated, or the first time it happens, is when they're breaking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first time, when she kicks him out of the apartment. Yes. And then it happens again at the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So, this must be a running joke.
No, but this is the thing, that's what I'm saying, though. I don't know what the joke is supposed to mean. I don't know if it's supposed to be like, well, you'll never know, because this is what happens. He says, I wrote the song, like in the beginning when they're fighting, he says, I wrote the song for you. And she was like, you wrote it before you even met me. Then later at the studio, when they're arguing, she says, you wrote that song for me. And he says, I wrote it before I even met you. And then when they're making up and he's about to say, I love you, I guess for the first time, he's like, come on, I wrote a song about you. Because he doesn't want to say I love you. So he's like, I wrote a song about you. And she's like, okay, well, then you can just say it or whatever. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he says, it's said that he writes the song for her more than it's said that he doesn't. So that's where I'm like.
Yeah, there's lots of contradictions in this movie.
Yes, and their whole dynamic, bad, just awful.
Yeah.
And no.
Not funny.
No, it's not funny. And it's really boring. And frankly, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually believe that, especially in the 90s, especially for like a metal band, that some girl who financially provided for him until he got famous is actually going to be kept around and taken care of when he's famous, and he's not going to just fuck around with all the new people.
You can't think,
especially
that's
when
not
he's
important.
Like 22 or whatever the fuck. Come on. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. I'm too cynical, man.
However, Chris Farley in this movie.
Oh! God. Everything he did was amazing.
Every scene, hilarious.
Every motion
in his
he made.
Facial expressions, yeah, and his physicality.
Every move he made, every facial expression.
I hate
gold.
That he's like lumped in with the every fat comedian.
I know.
Who died at a young age, like John Candy. Louis Anderson.
Girl, what is wrong with you? That.
But he's
I don't know. What was that? Was that supposed to be laughter?
What?
Was that supposed to be choir laughter?
No, that was me mugging.
Fucking Christ.
What character you see that? There's some TV character that would do that.
Was it Brian Floda?
It was not television's Brian Floda. Mr. Furley. Mr. Roper. On Three's Company.
Three's Company. Oh, I see.
At his own jokes.
That does sound like you.
It sounds like me?
Yeah.
Which part? Referencing Mr. Roper? Yes.
Yeah, referencing Three's Company and doing something that you saw on TV when you were a kid.
Thanks.
That sounds like...
Dad.
You're welcome. Somebody's got to
anyway.
Pick up the slack.
Everybody knows
Chris Farley's funny. Sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to take a break real quick. Be right back. Joe Montana.
And his eyebrows. His perfectly symmetrical, asymmetrical eyebrows. Like, they're exactly the same, like, shape, but they're in different positions. And it's so confused. I'm like, what? How? Like, they're so perfect, and yet...
I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but in general, you notice eyebrows a lot more than I do.
Yeah, I do. I used to draw them. I used to literally have a piece of paper that I would draw different shapes of eyebrows
Look,
on.
Look, I used to draw dicks and balls all the time, but I don't notice them in movies.
Yes, you do. If you see a dick or and a ball...
I holler, but I don't, like, comment on its symmetry. Their symmetry.
That's because they're never shown long enough for you to know if it's symmetrical or not.
Oh, my God.
Don't be mad. Oh, don't be mad! Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing with him, he works in, like, a toy store, so he has all these, like, toy guns.
Yes, he must have five-fingered most of the store by now.
Yeah, man, I mean, most of these guns are discontinued anyway. Like those Uzi water pistols from a Flash Battalion combat set, they got rid of it because it looked too real.
Yo! Mama!
Which was a real phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Or they're toy, like, they're water pistols.
Yeah.
Is the thing. And they, just saying a toy gun.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're like, you know.
I wanted one of these so bad. There was definitely a line of super realistic looking. That was their whole thing, is they look like real guns. And they were automatic. So you could.
Yes.
Fully automatic water gun. So you just hold down the trigger and it would pulse.
Amazing. And he just puts like hot sauce in them, which is, I think, kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
remember the thing of people putting bleach in Super Soakers?
No.
As far as I know, it was an urban legend, but like.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, he. So that's what happens. They take these, like, he has them, these, like, Super Soakers or whatever that look like, you know, automatic weapons. Soakers. Let me have. What are they then?
Well, Super Soakers came later and are a specific. A brand, but like I'm thinking of like the kind that have a huge tank and you pump them.
Yeah, right. I've just
these are the automated, automatic, realistic looking
water guns,
water pistols. Yeah.
Okay. So
I just didn't want to confuse people.
Well, whatever they are, they are made to look like actual automatic weapons. So they break into this radio station. By just like waiting for someone to open the door and then just like propping it open and then leaving it and then just like going inside. So it's not like super destructive. So they go in there, they're talking.
They
to
have
Joe.
The fake guns with them.
Yeah, they have.
Not
well,
planning
Steve Buscemi,
to use them.
Steve Buscemi has the fake guns because he like has. I think he thinks it's funny or whatever. He like to prank people or something. I don't fucking know. He says something about like going down like. Hollywood Boulevard and like shooting like record execs in the face or something with.
Well, he says if anybody tries to pull some shit.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so they're not like they don't go in there guns you know, metaphorical guns a-blazing. They just go in there. They find Joe Mantegna, who is the radio DJ. And
also, his show is established as helping bands get signed. Like, we see a scene at a club where there's a band that he's promoting.
Right.
And they're like, oh, thanks to him, we got a record deal.
Right. And they're like, oh, we just need to get him to play our record on the radio, and then we'll be, you know, we'll be sold or whatever.
Real quick. Didn't notice this way too late into the movie. It's called Rebel Radio. And their fucking logo is a skull wearing a Confederate soldier's hat.
Right.
That also has the Confederate flag on top of it.
Because it's often, I'm assuming they call it rebel because it's often, in the South, it's referred to as a rebel flag.
Yeah.
Which is how I knew it as a rebel flag. I mean, I knew that if someone had the rebel flag, they were an asshole. I was like, that means you're a bad person. So
what about them Dukes? Them Duke boys.
Oh, I never watched that growing up.
Oh, man.
So
it's on their car, you know.
Well, there's the...
Their car called the General Lee.
Oh, God. Right. I just was never... Anyway. So, there's one scene where they're like, going through all their stuff, and Steve Buscemi has a Confederate, like, cap.
Yeah.
That he puts on, and you were like, that's unfortunate. And still, it, like, I didn't connect it until... Calm down. I didn't connect it until you pointed out the...
Yeah, me either.
Because it's never clear. Like, I mean, if it is, like... I couldn't make
it's never
it out.
Highlighted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're never. It's never like a focus is drawn to it, or if it is, like you're trying to piece what it looks like because it's crazy. You know, like it's just you know this. It's like that classic '80s,
'90s
thing with like a skull and like fire and like a dragon and like all this. You know, you're just like what? Yeah. What am I?
You're throwing so many things at it.
Yeah.
I just realized, isn't the aren't the call letters like doesn't it start with W?
No.
For the radio station?
It's like KXPX or something.
Okay.
Why?
Because that wouldn't make sense for the West Coast. Out here, all the radio stations start with W. And I think the Rockies is the dividing line.
Oh, I didn't know that there was actually something that meant anything with the call letters.
Yep. I mean, that's it as far as I know. And first come, first serve, but like...
Oh, interesting. No idea.
Yeah, radio and TV, everything on the West Coast starts with K.
Oh, okay.
And I think everything east of Iraq starts with W.
Huh, interesting.
I don't know where the dividing line is. Okay. So, but.
So the scene at the beginning when Michael McKean and...
Call letters.
Richard, I say the N-word on stage, Michael Richards or whatever.
Yeah,
Kramer. Yeah. They are having a conversation. What?
That threat is totally unnecessary.
Absolutely unnecessary, but...
It's kind of fun to watch him flop around.
The only enjoyment I got out of that whole thread was the SWAT guy giving him his life story.
Yes.
Let me tell you about the shrew I married. I used to come home tired every night, sometimes 5, 6 in the morning. I dropped my underwear on the floor one time. Had the teeny weeny weeny little skid mark in it. You'd have thought I started World War IX.
Gary Marshall? Marshall Bell.
Marshall Bell, yeah. Gary Marshall
Bell. He's so familiar.
Yeah, he's been in like everything.
He's one of those guys that I feel like is similar to Tim Thomerson, where...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that he probably started as a stand-up and then ended up having an acting career, always being cast as like military or cops. Which is so...
That was the only thing that I enjoyed about that thread. But, like, Michael Richardson and Michael McKean, their conversation at the beginning, I did not understand what they were talking about. I was so confused because I either didn't hear half of it.
Oh, okay.
Like, there was something where they were like... I knew that, like, people were going to get fired or something, but he kept... Like, Michael Richardson, I couldn't hear anything he was saying.
Uh-huh.
And so Michael McKean was like, oh, you're not coming in. You're not doing it. And the only thing that I could make out with the of the conversation was that, like, Michael McKean was annoyed that Michael Richardson, Richard Michelson, I don't know, whatever.
Richards.
Michael Richards.
Anyway, go on.
Wasn't coming in or whatever on the day that he had to let. Or, like, I don't know. And he's like, when are you going to tell him? I figured that he was like firing people, but I didn't know that it was like for easy listening or whatever. I don't know. Like,
we're not supposed to know that at that point, I don't think.
But that was the thing. I couldn't tell if they didn't say anything because I had such a hard time following that conversation. And it wasn't, I wasn't not paying attention. I was just like, what are, I cannot figure out what they're talking about. I couldn't tell if it was something where we weren't supposed to necessarily know.
Yeah.
Well, this is beautiful.
Well, I try to be a team player.
Oh, I'm going to need you to come in tomorrow. I'm cutting loose a lot of dead weight. There's going to be a lot going on here.
Oh, boy.
What's the problem?
Well, I've been having a little bit of itching on my, I mean, it could be hemorrhoids.
I don't want to hear that.
No, John. I know. It's just that I made an appointment with my proctologist to get some type of cream or something.
So you're going to leave me high and dry, huh? Oh, that's a nice team attitude.
Well, I suppose I could come in for most of Saturday.
And Sunday.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
I think all we're supposed to get is that there were going to be layoffs and you wanted him right there basically to...
lay them off.
Yeah, either yeah, be the fall guy or to help him...
right, yeah,
have numbers, you know, yeah, like not get attacked or something. That scene read to me now, who knows, as like they were given space to improvise.
Wow.
That's what it felt like to me.
It was so weird. Yeah, it just was so weird.
It's not terribly informative.
It's not informative, and also I was like, what's the tone? What am exactly I supposed to be yeah gleaning here? Like, yeah, I don't feel like...
Well, that's why it felt yeah that way to me. Yeah, is yeah that we were like, okay.
Steve Buscemi plays, I'm assuming a transmasculine character. I'm just kidding. He just looks exactly... like his...
As I said, my former bandmate in 10 years, if he's lucky.
Yeah, if he's lucky. Oh, Lord. He just... I don't think Steve Buscemi has an ugly face. He has a strange face,
uh-huh,
a unique face. I don't necessarily want to look like him facially, but other than that, like his whole getup, the way he was like presenting himself, mm-hmm, like all that, I'm like, that's what I want to look like.
I just watched like 30 seconds of him on Bobby Wygant. God bless the Gobby. Throw my beef case.
Sorry, continue. Bobby.
What Bobby is Wygant.
Is Wygant,
her,
okay.
Is her name.
Oh, right. Her, that one that's like from the 90s where she's like kind of a little older and she yes just seems yes so thirsty all the time.
Yes, she's wild. Her interviews are wild, but bless them because they're archived and so many of them are on YouTube. So it's like a lot of these movies that we watch, it's the only, sometimes yeah the only like thing I can find.
Yeah.
And for this movie, it was only Buscemi.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first thing she asks is about wardrobe. And he was like, yeah, you know, the wardrober, you know, like they went out to clubs and everything. And I guess I had the most appropriate body to wear the tightest pants.
Right.
So they gave me the tightest pants. Which I didn't even notice, but...
Well, they just seem like... They seem like high-waisted. They just seem like high-waisted pants. And then he's got, like, a kind of a crop top. And then... Well, yeah, he's got a crop top and, like, long, stringy hair. And he's yeah wearing, like, fucking combat boots or whatever.
Yeah.
And...
All I really noticed is, like, Brendan Fraser... Sometimes he's wearing a headband. And his hair changes mm-hmm texture.
Yeah.
At the least...
I didn't find
and
any...
And that he's got a belt that is
yeah
not through the loops.
Correct.
That he's wearing.
And I constantly think his pants are completely off his ass because of it. I'm like, whoa, are his pants... Nope, that's just his belt.
And Adam Sandler is dressed as himself.
I feel like this is going to sound like I'm body shaming. It's not what I'm doing. I was interested because Brendan Fraser isn't, like, ripped in this movie. Like, obviously he's fit. Like, he's thin or whatever. Like, I'm not... Or I don't know what you call it. Like, he's like... thin, but he's not like super ripped and muscular.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, oh wow, like there was a time when he was just the hot guy without like having to do that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that existed into the 90s. You could be slim and considered hot. And
right, you didn't have to be ripped or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. I was just like, that was something that like, I was like, whoa, he doesn't have a fucking six pack. I mean, obviously he's skinny or whatever. He's not like whatever. But yeah, I was super, I was like, oh wow, okay. You were allowed to be normal?
Yeah, I feel like it was the early aughts when that really shifted.
I feel like the late 90s really kicked it. Like, he was in George of the Jungle and was, like, absolutely ripped. And that was, like, I think, like, 1997.
Yeah.
Which was only a couple, it was only, like, 3 years after this. Yeah. So, like, he was absolutely ripped for George of the Jungle. And, which is whatever, you know. But then The Mummy happened and, you know, he completely, his whole body got destroyed.
Yeah, Jesus.
Brendan Fraser in this, I don't feel like he stood out. And it was impressive. He was singing, as far as we could tell. He was the
It really sounded singing. Like him.
Yeah. This wasn't.
To be fair, nobody stands out.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi did a little bit for me. That might be just my trans mask ideal.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like, because they're supporting characters, they are allowed to have like little, I mean, they're kind of 2D, right?
For sure.
But it works.
Yeah.
Because it's funny and, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Adam Sandler, to be sure.
Yeah.
But he's capable of being funny.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's like Chris Farley stands out because,
because he's Chris Farley and he's hilarious and amazing.
Yeah. And Ernie so Adam Hudson's Sandler is good at what they give him, you know?
Yeah. Ernie Hudson's in this and like nothing.
No. It sucks.
You're really fucking something up if Ernie Hudson's in this and he's just blends into the background.
I feel like he often gets
Yes.
The short end. But yeah, let's talk about Ernie Hudson and Reg E. Kathy. And I also want to acknowledge Yvonne, played by Michelle Hurst.
And I was like, what do I know her from? I know her from something. Oh, yeah? And then I was like, oh, right, Orange is the New Black.
Oh.
And I know all these people. I knew Reg E. Kathy from Oz.
Yeah. It's all prison room.
Interesting media. Where I recognize all the black characters from. Or actors.
Adam Sandler's character's thing with,
oh my God,
is kind of great.
Also, fucking the scene where Steve Buscemi is trying to teach him how to be more like assertive or like actually.
Oh yes, that's good.
Oh, and when he's yelling.
All right, against the wall. Come on, tough. Seriously, move it. I'm not scared. Come on. I'm gonna stab your heads off.
With what?
With my dick. Yeah. And blood's gonna come out of your head. There's nothing you can do about it, cause I'm a madman.
That's good.
It kind of hurt my throat.
There was like some actually like
there's some great there are some good comedic moments
in this. Oh, when Steve Buscemi says, "Look at all the poon," or like, "Look at all poony? This poony, poony."
We can leverage this to get all the
poony, poony, a poony. Good God. You had to go back because I was like, did he say pony?
Yes.
And you were like, I heard pony. And I was like, please God.
I said,
let me be
I
wrong.
Heard pony, so you're probably right.
Yeah. I was like, please God, let me be wrong. Please. I was like, be pony. And he said pony.
Also, there is all kinds of amazing slang that is made up in this movie, as far as I know. Like,
I know.
Just calling people like, I can't even remember any.
I know. It was just ridiculous. It
Especially
was
in the first half.
This wire dick over here.
Yeah.
Shut up, dick smoke.
You look like half a butt puppet. Yuppie phone smugglers out there.
What are you doing, you little butt nut?
You quit necking on me, you femme.
What is that? Is what? Like, I don't. Just so many things that are like, is this an insult? Like, if I have to think about it and go, what? Is it really that insulting? If I have to pause to think about it, I feel like it's not the burn you think.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I like it because it does give.
I read. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm never sure I'm using this term right. And you can tell If you're a regular listener of this, you will know. But it kind of world building. Oh. It gives a sense that there's a culture here.
Yes.
That is slightly unfamiliar.
And
to me.
I wasn't sure. This is how I. This is kind of how I read it, as it was like that's the yes. But I read it as maybe being like not dissimilar from that.
Yeah.
But that you were getting that they were trying to come up with like new insults on the spot.
Oh, okay.
And we're just like coming up with shit. But I feel like it falls into the same thing.
Sure.
Because they're like, it's like, oh, this is something that, you know,
yeah.
I think I, cause they're like, we want to be the new thing. We want to be cool. So they're just like,
oh yeah.
Insulting
yeah.
people a lot. So they're coming up with new ones or like trying to think up new weird things, because I feel like that's something that maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's something that you try to do with your friends. You know, you have those inside jokes. You have those like little, you know, where you try to say something specifically to make your friends laugh or specifically to like, so if I read it more as like they were trying to like, it's a thing for them, like you said, with world building for uh-huh. them to just like try to come up with a new insult, because they don't use the same, like they don't use the same ones over and over. So it didn't
or maybe
feel
any twice.
Exactly. So it doesn't feel like they're trying to like establish that like this is what people say around them, but more like what's something new we can come up with on the spot is how I, and I don't know if I'm right about that or
yeah.
if it was just like a writer being like, I can't say dick jockey more than one time. You know,
the writer of this film, Rich Wilkes, also wrote such cinematic gold as The Jerky Boys and Triple X.
Oh, just Triple X, not the sequel with Ice-T or whatever. Sorry, Ice Cube.
Correct.
So,
very few credits. He also, before this, or it came out the same year as a movie called The Stoned Age.
Oh, wow.
Joe and Hubs are a pair of rockers who are on a quest for chicks. This is the tale of their adventure over one night. It seems indie.
Oh, man, what was I going to say? Oh, the part that we both were like, oh, wow, where it's got the news anchor talking about...
Yes!
Oh, man, this is complete bullshit.
And I quote, white urban males are the least likely to elicit tears from a city already beleaguered by people with real problems. The mayor is on holiday in Tijuana.
It's like the least, like...
sympathetic.
Yeah, of everyone. And I was like, damn, fuck.
I'm with her.
I know. I was like, all right. And they're like, oh, this is such bullshit. I'm like, this whole scene is accurate tonight.
Yeah, so that's, again, I'm like, okay, right. Is this movie more cynical than?
Yeah, exactly.
About
like,
its characters than it seems on the surface?
Yeah. Would you recommend?
Maybe. I mean, sure. You could do worse.
I definitely think there were things we laughed at way more than I actually expected to laugh at in a way that I didn't expect to laugh.
And in that regard, I wanted to say, and you know, in no small part because Sandler and Farley are in this.
Yeah.
Like, the parts that are funny feel like when a Saturday Night Live produced movie is actually funny.
Yeah. Like A Night at the Roxbury when they're loading the van and they're just throwing all of the plants into the van and acting so like begrudged to be doing that.
Yeah.
Oh god, shit like that is so funny to me. When stuff is happening in the background that you're like not necessarily that doesn't matter, but it's done dramatically or like overly dramatically to a point where it's like you can't help but notice it. Oh my god, I'm always going to laugh at that shit.
Yeah. Yep.
It's always going to be funny. Yeah, I think it's an interesting movie. I think it's something I'd love to hear people's opinions on it, honestly.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear what you have to say.
I think, the more we talk about it and that I think about it, it's full of contradictions. And the more you think about it, that's got to be on purpose.
Right. It's a movie of contradictions. It's super interesting, and
I will say that right at first, I'm like, really? Joe Mantegna seems like the wrong person to be in this. And, like, I think it could have been cast potentially better, but I do warm up to him.
Oh, I don't think John... Here's the thing, though. I feel this similarly about Joe Mantegna that I felt about Ernie Hudson is not so much that it was like I thought he was poorly cast. It was just like no one does anything with him. Right. I mean, like you say, like as the film goes on, you know, he kind of gets more, I don't know, something. He sticks around the whole movie.
Well, I mean, he's like, kind of just a cynical asshole at the beginning, and then he sides with the guy. He gets caught up in their...
The scene where they have a cop, what's his name, pretending to be a record exec from Ghostbusters.
Harold Ramis,
yes. When they're that's like, so oh God, good. That scene is so good. You should just put that clip in here. So,
what side did you take, Halen or Roth?
Ben Halen.
He's a cop.
Oh, later, Taken.
Oink, oink.
Strictly a judgment call. They sold a lot of records after Dave left the group. Come on, one more question. Hey, come on, Jeff, one more.
Right. Who'd win in a wrestling match, Lemmy or God?
Lemmy.
God.
Wrong, dickhead. Trick question. Lemmy is God.
Yeah! Oh, come on.
And then fucking Lemmy in the crowd.
So good. Yeah. Like,
oh, you said I did my high school newspaper.
Or whatever it is.
Right. You fucking hollered your ass off when that happened.
Because it was so ridiculous.
Also, like the moment that Brendan Fraser is like, I used to play D&D in high school. I'm like, okay, Eddie. Like,
100%.
Oh, I was such a 100%. Nerd. I used to play. I thought that scene was pretty good, though. And someone else in the crowd is like, I played D&D, too. And everyone's like, oh, I did the same thing. And I'm like, yeah, the whole point is, like, I felt with that. I'm like, what you're saying is.
I think it is worth noting, too, is the one black character in the crowd.
Right. Yeah.
That you don't see any other time.
Correct. But also, I'm like, because, like, that, like, a lot of, there's, and I feel like Stranger Things does a great job of, especially in this, the fourth season with Eddie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of overlap with, like, nerd culture and metal culture.
Yes.
There's a lot, like, Dungeons and Dragons, like, fantasy, like fucking songs about Lord of the Rings. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, shit like that. Like, Lord of the Rings was, like, a huge thing for metalheads. Like, this is something that, like, you know, it's seen as nerdy.
Oh, yeah, Kurt Loder as himself?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Forgot about that?
I know. Rob Zombie, White Zombie's in this. Apparently, they were going to have another band in it.
Oh, the writer's in the crowd, too.
Fuck, I can't remember the band. It was in...
Oh.
Like... Is it Suicidal Tendency? I don't know. Some band. I don't remember what band it is. They were in Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Beavis and Butthead?
Beavis.
Call in.
Fucking Mike Judge. Please, Beavis and Butthead in this.
Yeah.
I know. Right. But I mean, like, it wasn't. I was saying that specifically. Like, it wasn't supposed to be a reference to them. It's literally Beavis and Butthead. Like, it's Mike Judge doing this.
Is the thing about the band in the trivia?
Yes.
Okay. Also, I wanted to say that I was reading about White Zombie.
Yeah, you went on.
And the band that they go to see, that they're like, oh, these guys suck. And Mantegna got him a record deal. They're called Gods of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
One of White Zombie's early EPs was called God of Thunder. Cannibal Corpse.
Yes, Cannibal Corpse.
Damn. They're in Ace Ventura.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
But they were, because they were in Ace Ventura, they didn't have them in this movie. They were scheduled to be in this movie.
But then
they found out that they had been in Ace Ventura, and they said, never mind, we'll do White Zombie.
Oh, like too much exposure.
Underground enough. I know. I'm like, what the fuck?
I will say, I did not recognize not a song. I recognized not a song on this soundtrack. And yet, it wasn't distracting. Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it fit. I felt like all this music fit to a certain extent.
I was like, oh, these lyrics that they're singing aren't too bad. And it's because they're singing a song that came there. It's a cover.
Which one?
The song that they like that
the Lone Rangers?
The Lone Rangers sing.
Speaking of transphobic, like everybody's favorite thing from The Mighty Boosh was a character called Old Greg, who was a man with a vagina who lived under the water. Hilarious.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Men don't have vaginas. Yeah. They can't. How can they have a vagina?
He uses the term mangina.
I mean,
hilarious, let me tell you.
Right. I do kind of like the term mangina just because I think it's funny to say.
Yeah, it's funny.
Not funny to think about. Like, literally saying the word, it sounds funny. Like, when you say it, it's fun to say mangina. But I'm not like, man with a vagina. Obviously, I know men who have vaginas, and I know women who have penises. So I don't think.
That's hilarious.
This is a thing, though, that I think this is a thing that I struggle
with.
This guy
a show on
BBC4. This is a thing. I don't want to say
ITV.
I don't want to say I struggle with it. But this is something where what do you call it? The snake eating its own tail sort of thing.
Okay.
Like, I get stuck on this loop, basically.
Gotcha.
It's not bad. It's not, you know. But I'm like, okay, I don't want to have a uterus, and I don't necessarily want to have breasts. Still debating that one. Because I don't identify as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that any genitals define your gender. So I'm like, how can I not, if I don't think they have a gender, then why do I feel gendered with if I don't?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like that, I guess I'm like, if I don't feel that gender, because I could see like, they're like, I follow a lot of like sex workers and like a lot of trans sex workers. And so I'll see like, men with vaginas on my timeline, women with penises, and I don't think she's hairy for being a girl. I know that it's like just because there's a vagina, I recognize that this person is like,
yeah,
a man or like, you know, trans mask or whatever, and vice versa. Like, I don't see a penis and relate it to any sort of sexual identity or not sexual identity, gender identity. That's what I meant.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't do that, so I don't understand why I do it with I know that it's like it's about like changing your body to what feels most comfortable, and that's not what I'm debating. What I'm debating is like I don't actually feel that genitals are gendered in any capacity, because they don't, it doesn't make sense even biologically that genitals would define a gender. That doesn't make any sense, because people are intersex, people are, you know, there's all kinds of things that can define gender that have nothing to do with genitals. So, yes. But then I'm like, well, okay, so how you present doesn't define your gender. Your genitals don't define your gender. How you, you know, like how other people identify you doesn't define your gender. So what does? And then I'm like, wait, you define it, but like if you're defining, but if it's, well, then what, like, I don't know. I just get really stuck on like, am I being transphobic by not wanting to have boobs?
Well, you know? I think it's the same thing that, and I hate to draw this comparison because of, it's a very slippery slope. I'm not saying you're whatever race or ethnicity you feel like.
Correct. Not at all.
You can't do that.
Nope.
But what race and gender have in common is that they are made up concepts used to create hierarchies that can be enforced that are based on nothing.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Right.
The human race is one race as far as.
Right. Yeah. Where we
taxonomy.
Come from. Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like bio.
And that doesn't,
evolutionary biology.
Correct. And that doesn't erase like any sort of like ethnicities or any sort of like racism or anything like that. Like the concept of racism or the concept of race is false.
Right. And this is because a lot of either you're ignorant or
you're
intentionally being a white supremacist will make this argument that like okay, well, if race doesn't matter, why do you keep bringing it up?
Right.
It's fake, but it does. It's like money also.
Right.
Money is fake.
Yeah, money's fake.
That is a human construct.
Correct.
But it...
It determines whether you have housing. Like,
it's so
integrated
into human relations that it affects, it touches everything.
Yes.
So it's fake.
Yeah.
But also it's very important.
Right.
Because it has been made so.
Correct.
Humans have done all of it.
Correct.
To
one another. Yeah.
It's not handed down from an external source of any kind.
Right. Right, right.
Supernatural or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Nature, none of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's something.
But that leads to a lot of very confusing cul-de-sacs of reason and logic because both things should not be true.
Yeah.
But you have to, anyway.
Yeah. No,
I digress.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why we're watching Brendan Fraser movies.
Shout out to Homeschool Mama.